You know, there every year there are new fads that capture the imagination of people, and not only capture their imagination, but their interest and their money. For instance, those of you who might have lived in the 1930s and 40s remember some amazing fads like swallowing goldfish. Any of you ever do that? High source of protein. It was a time of zoot suits, dance marathons, and sitting on flagpoles. Didn't that hurt? And then you jump to the 1950s. Kids used to put baseball cards in the spikes, the spokes of their bicycles, so it would sound like a... Yeah, I see some people shaking heads. And don't you wish you still had those baseball cards, especially the one with Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle? Some guys had flat tops. I have a cousin who still wears his flat top. And others sported a DA, like Elvis. Man, they were cool. In the late 50s, American cars had fins. I don't know why. But give me a classic 57 or a classic 1959 Studebaker Golden Hawk, and I'll be happy. My grandfather worked for Studebakers for 50 years, and he always used to drive up in a Studebaker. In the 60s, teens wore bell-bottom jeans. And some guys sported afros. Some of the women and girls had bouffant hairdos that stuck up so high they couldn't sit upright in the car. Remember that? There were mood rings, pet rocks, Barbie dolls. Oh, if you had just saved your first Barbie doll, you'd be rich. And everyone had to have an 8-track tape player. Man, did we think we were something? Am I bringing back fond memories? In the 1970s, most men and boys owned a polyester leisure suit. Talk about gross. I hope you never see a picture of me in my lime green leisure suit. Disco music was all the rage, and teens in my youth group collected beer cans, walls of beer cans. And they enjoyed lava lamps. Little girls were into Cabbage Patch dolls. If you have the original Cabbage Patch, you've got a fortune there. Now, in the 1980s, the fads included the introduction of Chia Pets. How I wish that would die out. Now you can get a Willie Nelson Chia Pet. There were Rubik's Cubes and Pac-Man, Swatch Watches, and Michael Jackson glitter gloves. In the 1990s, people got swept up with hip-hop fashions, Kush Balls, Tickle Me Elmos, grunge music, pop push-pops, and WWJ wristbands, which was short for What Would Jesus Do? And I have a WWJD wristband on right now. That's a collector's item, too. Now, in the first decade of the 21st century, we were introduced to so-called reality TV shows. I wish they would die out. Big Mouth Billy Bass. Remember that? A fish that sort of looked like it was on a plaque, and it would sing to you and play music, and the tail would flap. Oh, and then there were Angry Birds, Pokemon, speed dating, and Uggs, which Macy's still happens to carry. In the last 10 years, we have borne witness to the rise of floss, the dance. Glamping, which is glamorous camping. Duck Dynasty, and TikTok. What future fads may come along, no one really knows, but man, if we had an inkling of which one would really sell, we could really cash in, couldn't we? Say, could we go back to that fad in the 90s? The WWJD bracelet, what would Jesus do? You know, you don't see too many of anymore. I used to give these out to kids in a children's time occasionally, and I've got, I think, 3 left. We don't see them around anymore, partly because they easily slipped off your wrist, and partly because they didn't demand that a person do anything. It just asked, what would Jesus do? They only asked a person to contemplate what Jesus would do in a certain situation. Now, knowing what Jesus would do is only half the challenge. The other half is doing. The WWJD movement was correct in telling us that God wants us to heed Christ, but what was missing was the other half of discipleship, enabling people to actually do what we know Jesus wants. You see, to know is not exactly the same thing as to do. So, maybe this is the new fad. Maybe we should come up with new wristbands with the letters WWJHMD. What would Jesus have me do? Or we can be more specific. We could have WWJHPD. What would Jesus have Presbyterians do? You know, we could market that. We could market some to Lutherans and Methodists. And well, maybe we could market the new wristband, but probably it wouldn't sell, since WWJHMD is a much more demanding thing. Well, now, the question arises, how can we determine what Jesus would have us do? Well, the first place would be to look in the Old Testament, which was Jesus' guidebook for living. He was obviously schooled very well in the Torah and the writings of the prophets, and he quoted from them frequently. One passage was Micah 6, verses 6 and 8, which we had as an Old Testament lesson this morning. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This passage has been called the Hebrews' Beatitudes. And I think that they may provide a template for Jesus' own Beatitudes, which are covered in the 5th chapter of Matthew and in a slightly different form in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, if someone were to test me or push me on the core teachings of Jesus, I would submit that you find the core of Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, which include the Beatitudes. Now, when we look at the Beatitudes, we see some really important ideas. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," he was speaking of our human need for God. When he said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," he encouraged us to identify with the hurts, the problems, the griefs, and sins of the world, and he assured us that he would comfort us. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," he was relating the need for us to live controlled lives, lives controlled by God and nothing else. He was not saying that we had to be milquetoast and weak. You see, meekness is not weakness. And when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, he was talking of our need to fill our lives with God if we really want to be fulfilled in our lives. When he said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, he was commanding us to extend mercy and grace to absolutely everyone. And when he continued with, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, he was teaching us to focus our total life on God and God's will. And when he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, he was speaking of our need to work for peace along with justice, for without justice there is no peace. And when he concluded with, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he was commenting on our need to stand for something greater than ourselves, and that it might cause us to be in what the late Congressman Lewis called holy trouble. Jesus also taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves. He taught us to love our enemies. He taught us to go the second mile for others. He taught us to forgive one another as we have been forgiven. He taught us to take up our cross and follow him. Holy cow, what a tall order. It's probably why we'll never see a bracelet with WWJHMD on it. Because that demands our total effort. When it comes to WWJHMD, we need to understand that a certain opportunity to serve Christ may only come once in a particular situation. You may be the only one who can do what Jesus would have done in a given moment. You are in different circumstances and circles than I, and I am in different places than you. You or I may be the only one who is in a position to say the right word at the right time to the one who is in greatest need. Where might you step in and bring peace or mercy, forgiveness, comfort, grace, love? Like you, I've had a number of experiences that I could share this morning, but I want to tell you about one that happened a few years ago when I was in Chicago with my kids, who were 10 and 6 at the time. We had spent several hours one morning at the Museum of Science and Industry, and we had really seen what we wanted to see, and hunger was setting in. And so I thought I would introduce my kids to some different kind of eating than McDonald's. And I thought I'd take them to that famous German restaurant in the Loop called the Berghof. Well, we went in there, totally different atmosphere, very interesting. And after eating a big meal of Wiener Schnitzel and potatoes and apple strudel, and Berghof makes the best homemade root beer. I'm saying root beer. Well, we were done, and so we returned to the car to put some money in the meter to do some looking around. At that time, it was Marshall Field's instead of Macy's. And we were going up Wabash Street, which is, or Wabash Avenue, which is under the L, the noisy train that, you know, sort of makes a loop around downtown Chicago. And we happened to go by an African-American man who was perhaps in his 40s, who was leaned up against a building and sort of sitting, straddling a fire hydrant. And as he wore worn-out clothes and old shoes, and as people passed by, he said, "Can somebody help me get something to eat?" Well, he didn't ask for money, he just asked for somebody to help him get something to eat. And after we had walked past him, my son Brandon asked, "Dad, why isn't somebody getting him something to eat?" Brandon was 10. I didn't know what to say. And then Brandon asked, "Dad, why don't we get him something?" And that question stopped me in my tracks. We had just eaten a full meal at the Berghoff at great expense. And we had full stomachs, and I had the nerve to pass somebody who had an empty stomach. Well, we immediately turned around and went to see what we could get him to eat. And he said, I thank you for the offer. Really, the only thing I need is a cheeseburger and a cup of coffee with a little bit of cream in it. Well, after purchasing the food from a nearby Wendy's, I asked my son to present the meal to the man, and he thanked us and began to sip his coffee. And as he was eating his cheeseburger, he asked my kids what their names were and proceeded to show them photos of his two kids who were living with his ex-wife. His name was Jerry. He put a name on the face of hunger. And as Brandon gave him the food, I got all choked up. Somehow the noise and the callousness of the big city all were obliterated. Somehow Brandon's question, "Dad, why don't we get him something to eat?" was the very voice of God. I'll never forget my son's question that day. And it will somehow maybe haunt me a little bit for the rest of my life. I mean, why don't we share our resources with those who obviously have so little? Why don't we afford ourselves the absolutely exhilarating joy of sharing? What would Jesus have me do today? And you know, the amazing thing about WWJHMD is that when we do what Jesus would have us do, we find ourselves blessed. My kids and I will never forget that experience we had going back to Jerry and giving him a lunch, and then visiting with him for the next 15 or 20 minutes. We'll never forget that. Now, I'm not suggesting that we can do everything on Jesus' to-do list. Like a prayer that my dad wrote for worship. My dad was a pastor for 40 years. My dad wrote this: "Lord, I can't do everything. I can't feed all the hungry children of the world. I can't teach all of the illiterate. I can't visit all the sick or imprisoned, and I can't clothe all the naked. But I can do something." There is a charisma, you see. There is a talent that each of us has that no one else has. And at points in our life, we're put in situations where we might be the only person who can say the right word, give the right moment of grace. What if each morning we said a little prayer and asked, Lord, where would you like me to serve you today? Who is it that needs attention and kindness from me today? Where can I help someone who is alone, hurting, desperate, hungry? Lord, what would you have me do today? You know, WWJHMD, what would Jesus have me do, is a demanding aspect of our faith, but in doing what Jesus would have us do, we find something special, exciting, and eternal. We find the satisfaction and joy in life that we ultimately seek. And that's no fad.